For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And let's open in prayer, first of all. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that by your Spirit, your presence is with us, and that we are free. We are free to hear. We are free to see. We are free to understand your precious word. We are free. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Lord, I pray that every one of us would understand this and walk in this, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at valuing our place in Christ. This will be part one of a two-part sermon series. And the important thing that we need to understand is where we came from and where we are now. We didn't come from a good place in terms of where we were prior to coming to Christ. And we know that those outside of Christ are blind in the main to their condition and are walking in darkness and stumbling in that. But you know, we must value or esteem what God has done. We can't be people that look on it lightly or treat it lightly, but understand exactly what Christ has done. Now, in the eternal scheme of things, once we get to heaven, it'll be very, very clear, of course. But whilst we're down here, we have the light of God's word, and we are children of light, and the Bible talks about our pathway is getting brighter and brighter. But we can't have faith above the knowledge of the word of God. If we are to have faith to walk in this dark, sinful world, if we have faith to walk in it, we must bring the knowledge of the word of God higher in our lives. You cannot have faith for healing if you never hear anything about healing, and yet the Bible's full of healing. You cannot have faith for increase unless you hear the word of increase, and so on. We can go on and on. You cannot have faith for any of the blessings of God if you haven't had it revealed to you through the word of God. Your knowledge level has to come up, all of us. So there are whole sections of people all around us who have no faith because they have no knowledge of the word of God. And Jesus talked about no faith, little faith, great faith. So there is a degree of the amount of faith people have, and it's directly proportional to the knowledge, and I'm talking about spiritual knowledge, internal heart knowledge of the word of God. So it's not just, oh yes, I know that Samson did this, or David did this against Goliath, or this happened. But the heart knowledge is a believing of it, an understanding and a believing of it, and a bringing forth of that into your life. Have a look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and we'll look at verses 9 to 14 in Colossians 1. Now, as we said before, God has delivered us. We've been delivered from a very bad place, a very dark place. And starting from verse 9 of Colossians 1, this is what we read. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So what's the desire of Paul here? Well, of God, that you might be filled with all the knowledge, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I was talking about before, spiritual understanding. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Spiritual understanding, words coming in, having impact upon you so you understand. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And what's this next one? Increasing in the knowledge of God. So we should be increasing in the knowledge of God, not decreasing. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay? Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Does God want you to be strengthened? He does, doesn't he? He wants you to be strengthened with all might. I don't think we've tapped even a part of that in what God wants us to do. We need to tap greater and greater. So strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. We're going to see later that his glorious power is working in us. Working in us in proportion to the being filled with the knowledge of his will and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you can see that when people put themselves into a place where they're decreasing in the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God is just not there, you can see how that saps the power in their life as well. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So something has been done to us. He's made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now we are saints, as born again believers in Christ, and we're in light, we're not in darkness. Notice what it says in the next part, verse 13, when we're going down to verse 14. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now think about that. What's that saying? Does the power of darkness have hold on us? Well, only if we let it. Because if we've been delivered from that power, and we've been translated or put into from one place to another, we've been taken out of from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And you know Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So there's been a tremendous change in our position, our place. A tremendous change. We need to have an understanding of this, that whereas we were under the power of darkness and we were kept in that darkness and blindness, there has been now a deliverance that's been accomplished in us and a translation for us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and of course in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's the blood of Christ, the purchasing power of his blood gave us that redemption. And that redemption, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, has given us blessing in place of cursing. The power of darkness is all about keeping you in a place of curse and blindness and darkness and away from the knowledge of God. I was just thinking yesterday, you could watch, for example, just as one example, you could watch the television all day and God will hardly be mentioned. The Bible would hardly be mentioned, or if it is mentioned, it's generally in a negative vein. And it's just so sad to see that people can go right through their life in this really technologically miraculous environment, which has access to huge amounts of knowledge, and yet still not have the knowledge of God. And that tells us something. That tells us that this is a spiritual thing that's happening. Something is spiritually keeping people in a state of blindness and darkness. And of course we know that what the Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So there is that blinding, there is that blindness. But there also is that decision to stay there as well. Now, the glorious gospel brings that light, and if you've believed that glorious gospel, then you come into this area of being delivered from the power of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is a way of operating, a way of walking. It's the walk of faith, the operation of faith, because that's what pleases God, and we want to please God. Have a look at Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. Valuing our place in Christ. So when you see what has been done and where you have come from, okay, out of the miry clay, out of the pit, so to speak, where you have come from, we should have a great appreciation and be thankful for what God has done, and our lives are his to command. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. And this is what it says. But God be, what? Thanked. Thanked. Keep that in mind. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Okay, this is that spiritual connection. From the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Never let anyone say to you that doctrine is wrong and shouldn't have doctrine. You do have to have doctrine. You have to have good doctrine, proper doctrine, word doctrine. Doctrine is very important. We're not talking about man's doctrines, we're talking about biblical doctrines. So that form of doctrine was delivered to you. You obeyed, okay, it's the doctrine of the gospel. You obeyed from the heart. That's called obeying the gospel. And it did something in you. So you were a servant of sin, now there's a change. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Became the servants of righteousness. That's your nature now, to be a servant of righteousness, a child of God. So we are children that serve the Father, serve God. Okay? So we're not meant to be rebellious. We're not meant to be unthankful. We'd be people of knowledge, of understanding. So what can we see there? We see once again our place has changed. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were servants of sin, shackled to sin, so to speak, but servants of sin nevertheless. There was a wage attached to that. And now we've been made free from sin. As far as God is concerned, you're free from sin. But you have to do some reckoning. What do you have to do? Well, if you go back to verse 11, notice what it says. Well, we'll start from verse 10 and then go to 11. It says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we should say, I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin. That's not holding me. That's not holding me. I reckon myself to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So there's a freedom now. Your place in Christ is a place of freedom. Not free to do sin, but free to serve God. And that's true freedom. That's a blessed path, rather than the wages of sin is death and everything connected with death, which is the curse. So you can see that's not freedom. People that think, oh, I'm free from the traditions of the church and free from doctrine and free from all of that, they're not free at all. How can you be free from the knowledge of God? You're not free. You're shackled. Oh, I wouldn't want to go into the church. It's full of do this, don't do that, and etc., etc. You need to be free. Free from sin. Free from thinking that way. And start to think the biblical way. To be filled with the knowledge of God and grow in the knowledge of God. So we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're a kingdom people. As kingdom people, there is a way for us to operate. Have a look at Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Now, we're talking about valuing our place in Christ. Why do we talk about valuing? We've looked at our place in Christ now, what Christ has done. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we have been changed from being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness. So great things have happened in our lives when we were born again. Great things happened. Great things happened. We're no longer meant to be walking in darkness. We're no longer meant to be shackled to sin and serving sin. We have to see the value of the kingdom of God and of the ways of God. If we've been translated into the kingdom of God, if we've been translated into that, we have to understand the value of that. And as we understand the value of that, we see an eternal perspective rather than just what we have today amongst not just the heathen but many church people. Very blinkered thinking in terms of the greatness of God and the what God wants us to do and the blessings and so on. Now Matthew 13, starting from verse 44, let's read through this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to something here. He's saying it's like unto a treasure hid in a field. There's great treasure in the kingdom of God. And when a man finds it, what's he meant to do? Is he meant to say, it's just treasure, I can forget about that? No, what does he do? When a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Does this man value that treasure? He does. So should we value the kingdom of God. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Think about it. The kingdom of heaven. Like unto a merchant man. This is the way people in the kingdom of heaven should be. All for God. Did this man value that pearl? This is a pearl of great price. Did he value that pearl? He valued it. The other man valued the treasure. So how much more should we value the kingdom of God and what we now have in the kingdom of God? And thereby, we should be investigating into the Word and looking into the Word and finding out what's in this treasure, digging in and finding out what's in the treasure of the kingdom of God. What's in the treasure? What has the Lord done for us? What's the blessing? And not ignore whole sections of Scripture just because you're in a denomination that doesn't preach it, for example. Things like that. But say, no, what God has for us, what has been purchased for us, I want all of it. And I'll go for all of it. So we see that there's many that are just not honouring God in their lives because they don't esteem it. They don't value it. And so they might attend a church, but then when they go out amongst the heathen, they don't understand that 99% of everyone they're meeting is in blindness and darkness and under the power of darkness. And you should be saying, hey, wait a minute. Where is the light? Where is the light? Where is the treasure really at? And that's a way for us to be shining as lights. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And this is a principle in the Word of God. Because if people value the things of God, likewise God will value your things. God will help you, increase you, bless you. But if you put those things of God aside, you're putting blessing aside, you're putting all types of other things that God wants to have for you aside. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Now, I'll read the whole verse, but it's the last part that I want to concentrate on. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. And that's what it says in this next part. For them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, people's actions show whether they despise the Lord. They might not even think that they're doing it. Whether they despise the Lord or they don't. But you notice that God will lightly esteem people that despise his ways, despise him. Lightly esteem. In other words, he's not going to esteem what they're doing, and they could be working all their lives and it'll all come to nothing. But where should we be? We should be in the category of them that honour me, I will honour. That's what God wants. Honour him. Honour him with your substance. Honour him with your presence, with your life, with your works. Honour him. God will honour you then. But notice there's that flip side, there's that opposite side, and this is a principle. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So coming into blessing is related to increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember what I said right at the beginning, you can never have faith above your knowledge level of the Word of God. You can't have faith for something that you don't spiritually have that knowledge for, that understanding, spiritual understanding. But there is great opportunity when you come under the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, looking into the Word from a believing perspective. There's great opportunity for us all to increase and go forward, to be filled with the knowledge of God. Have a look at 2 Chronicles 36, verses 11 to 19. We'll spend a bit of time just having a look in here. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 11 to 19. This is a section of scripture that is very relevant for today. Very relevant for us. And a great warning. You know, the prophets of God, you know, they had feelings like other men. They had feelings, and they would have felt frustrated at times. I don't use that term lightly, but they were also men, and the prophetesses or women, they were also people that had faith in God and his word, and went forward. Verse 11, starting from 2 Chronicles 36. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Very important thing here. You know, God is always watching. But what did he do to Zedekiah? What did he say? Well, he sent someone to speak to Zedekiah. And it was Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And Zedekiah did not humble himself before him. There has to be a humbling before the Word of God coming to you and saying, and humbling is saying, not my will, but your will, Lord, be done. Not my way, but your way. And acknowledging the truth of what God says. Verse 13, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. So here we see a really bad situation for Zedekiah. Now Zedekiah was a king, so he had influence. And if you've got a bad leader, that can influence the populace, the people underneath him. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. And, notice, polluted the house of the Lord for which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. So, there was a polluting of the house of the Lord because there were things coming into the church, well, church today, but the house of the Lord, church of the Old Testament, things coming into the church that should never have come in. Should never have come in. but did come in. We can say that today. Things have come into the churches that should never have come in. Verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers, what did he do about this situation? Sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So how did God respond? He sent his word. He said, believe this. He sent warnings over and over. Warnings. But notice what happened. Verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. God is merciful and long-suffering, and he will send messengers, he will send warnings, okay? And it's up to people to say, I acknowledge the Lord and what he has done and what he, and who he is, rather than, oh, look at the ways of the heathen. Oh, look at that. And giving in to all the wrong things. So we can't fully blame Zedekiah, can we? Although he obviously had an influence. But notice they mocked the messengers of God. Mocked them. Mocked them. Mocked them. Do we have that type of thing today? Well, not just in the world, but also in the churches. Mockery. Ah, you can't have one Bible. Ah, you shouldn't be listening to that faith message. Ah, those prosperity preachers, they're all in it just to fleece the flock. Ah, this and ah, that. Mocking. That's called mocking. And despised his words. Now, despising God's words means to put it aside, not listen to it, not heed it, not seek to understand the truth of it, and misused his prophets. How should they have used the prophets? Well, they should have humbled themselves and listened. You know? And I would say prophets and ministers is a good area to be submissive to. I'm talking about true prophets and true teachers and ministers of God. We also have learned in Hosea 4 verse 6, we won't turn to that, how people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in that verse it talks about they rejected knowledge. There's a lot of rejection of knowledge going on. But God has made us into something powerful, with the ability to speak powerful words and to do powerful things. So we must come up to the level of this knowledge of the Word of God if we are to have faith to do what God wants. What does God want in this dark, blinded, sin-filled, wicked world? What does God want? He wants the gospel preached. The Bible says he wants it preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. And I believe the gospel is not just, oh, Jesus died so that you could go to heaven. The gospel is, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. This is where you're going. But you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into that. Everything that was purchased by salvation. You know, he died. He was buried. He rose again. This is good news. Because now we are put into a position of great victory, great blessing, This is the gospel. And that's what's got to be preached to all nations right across the earth, and then shall the end come. That's what the word says. So we're going to look at this in a bit more detail, but I'll just, before we finish, look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Because this relates to how our knowledge level should come up. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. There was quite a few problems in the Corinthian church. They let the world get in. Okay, they certainly were not doing the things in line with the word of God, in line with the kingdom of God as they should. And you can read right through it. You'll see various sins pointed out and so on. 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about a very important area. It's the area of carnality amongst Christians. Okay, the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So obviously the solution is to walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, starting from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So here we have a situation where clearly there's a people that have not grown up into what they should be growing up into. Okay? Carnality has come in. Thinking along fleshly lines. Natural thinking rather than spiritual understanding and spiritual thinking. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Had they come very far? He started with milk and he's saying, you're not even now able to bear the meat. You can't even come up to that level. So, have they come very far? They haven't come very far at all, have they? So what does carnality do? It stunts your growth. Of course, you'd go backwards. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So, carnality has things like envying and strife and divisions. Being spiritual is all about growing in love and understanding God's abundance and abounding in God's blessings and wanting to bless others and wanting to show through the walk of faith, this is the way. Walk ye in it. But you can't show that if you're not living it. You can't be an example to the brethren if you're attacking the brethren. You can't be an example or a witness to the world if you're going the way of the world. It's just not possible. It's just not possible. The Lord's prompted me just to have a look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 and 4. And then we'll finish with this. Valuing our place in Christ means that things will happen for us to go forward. And we see this in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 4. Now, as you saw, he was quite critical of the Corinthians, where they were at. But notice what he says to the Thessalonians here. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That sounds very different from the Corinthian church, doesn't it? This is the will of God. This is what happens when people value what they have in Christ and all for God. I'm not going to despise the words of God. I'm going to grow in the knowledge of God. I'm going to listen and hear and thank the Lord for what he has done. Isn't that what we read before? God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you become servants of righteousness. Praise the Lord. And here, you give thanks to God if your faith is growing exceedingly and the charity toward each other is abounding. That's an indication of a truly spiritual church. Faith growing, charity toward each other abounding. Can you see the idea here? Let's close in prayer. We'll continue part two in the next sermon. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us out of a very dark place, that we are now children of light. Father, I thank you for the people here and for the people who will listen to this, that every heart be impacted with the words of knowledge and understanding, and hear the instruction of the words of knowledge, so that we value our place in Christ. And we don't want to look back. We want to look backwards into the world, but look forward, looking unto Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I pray every person here would abound and increase in faith, in charity, love, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.